This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Watching the sun bake. Susan Clapp joins me live in studio. She's a demographer with the University of Virginia's Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service. And do I have this right? You're a former employee of the U.S. Census.
That's right.
You were one of those people officially charged with counting people, right?
That's right. I worked there for 3 years up in D.C.
So what did you do there?
I worked on the address list. So they maintain an address list throughout the decade, all the time. And I worked on that, keeping that up to date and helping do evaluations of that.
Okay, so now you're at the University of Virginia, and now it's census time.
That's right.
I just filled out mine and sent it in.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about what's going on, what you've heard? I mean, give us any details that immediately come to mind about what we should know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very exciting time for us demographers. Census week, Census day, the official national census day is this Thursday, April 1st. And everybody's probably getting their forms about now and remembering, oh, yeah, I think I did this 10 years ago. And the important thing for this year is that it's a very short form. It's only 10 questions. It takes about 10 minutes. And you should just fill it out and mail it back in.
Is this the shortest form ever? I mean, is this in a long time?
I'm not sure exactly about the length of it, but it's the first time in a long time that they've had only a short form. They used to have a long form as well for 1 in 6 households that people might remember getting back in 2000. That was a lot longer. But the questionnaire this year is actually very similar to the one that was first done in 1790. And there's some extra questions, kind of administrative ones to help people make sure they count people in the right place. But for the most part, it's just very basic. How old are you? What's your name? What's your race?
It took me like less than 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's very fast.
Yeah. We're talking with Susan Clapp, demographer from the Cooper Center at the University of Virginia about the U.S. Census. This is Census Day is Thursday. And if you've got a question about the census, give me a call, 977-1070. Remind us why we do this and why there's such a, really a threat. I mean, you got to fill this out. You could go to jail. I mean, why is it like that? Why is this so important?
It's incredibly important. It's actually in our Constitution. The Founding Fathers wanted there to be a census. Thomas Jefferson, actually people around here might enjoy this fun fact. Thomas Jefferson was the first director of the first census in 1790. So
I never knew that.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I would think that he would really have gotten into that.
Yeah. So
love that kind of details and numbers. And
mm-hmm, exactly.
Interesting.
So it's very important. It's how we know how many congressmen each state should have. Over $400 billion in federal funds are allocated annually based on the census numbers. And also the data are used for redistricting in the state levels.
So I've been hearing something in the news about a lot of the Tea Party folks protesting the American government by not filling out their census. But that's only going to hurt them, if I understand this right.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, because then they're not counted.
That's right. And it hurts you and it hurts your community because your community doesn't have the representation in the federal government that it should have. And it's also not going to get the funding that it needs to support the number of people that you have.
We're talking with demographer Susan Clapp about the U.S. Census. The counting has begun. Now, explain this. They did away with the long form, but there's this new thing which replaced it called the Community Survey.
Right. It's called the American Community Survey. And instead of people getting the form along with the census, instead of the short form, they've broken it out into a form that's ongoing all throughout the decade. It gives us much more up-to-date data that's useful for public policy planning, researchers. Lots of people use this data.
And demographers like you are just chomping at the bit to get a hold of the results of this survey, right?
We love it.
Yeah.
But the important thing to remember about this survey and the census that you're filling out this week is that the data are confidential. They cannot be shared with any other federal agency. The only thing that the Census Bureau puts out publicly is aggregate data. So you can go and find out about your, say, Charlottesville as a whole, how many people with a high school diploma live in Charlottesville, but you can't find out any information about any one specific person.
Let me ask you to put on those headphones and make sure the volume is turned up where you are. Yeah, right there. And where you have some calls, 977-1070 is the phone number. You got a question for Susan Clapp, demographer from the University of Virginia. And Elizabeth is on line one. Elizabeth, you're on with Susan. Go right ahead.
Thanks. Well, I guess my understanding is that the Constitution sets forth that we can be asked about numbers for how we you know, how our districts are set up and our representation. But I guess I don't understand how they can ask anything beyond that. I feel like it is intrusive, and especially the community form is information that I'm not sure they have a right to ask for.
Well, the courts have actually ruled that it is constitutional to ask additional questions. And these questions on both the census, that the decennial census that you're getting now, and the American Community Survey are used for a variety of programs. They're used to enforce laws like the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. So these data are very important for all different levels of government.
Now, Elizabeth, let me ask you, do you think that there's too many questions, that it's a little too intrusive?
I guess I do think it's a little too intrusive, and I guess I also have heard, which doesn't make it true, that some of this information was turned over after the 9/11 bombings, that they were looking at the Muslims and where they were in the country, and perhaps I'm wrong about that, but that concerned me that the government was turning over information to, whether it was the FBI or the CIA, I have no idea whom.
Yeah.
You know, information about religious leanings, and I don't know. It makes me wonder, why do you ask me that? Count me. I understand that, our districts and our representation, but beyond that, I don't know.
Why do you have to know what religion I am?
Well, let me
Thank
clarify.
You.
Religion. Yeah. Religion is not asked on the American Community Survey, and it's actually against the law for them to ask anything about your religion.
So give us some example, because I got the little short form. Mm-hmm. I did not get a community survey. Give us some examples of some of the things that are on there.
Sure.
and why they would be asking those, for example.
Well, a great example that a lot of people, when you're filling it out, you come to, there's questions about the people living in your household, and there's also questions about your household itself. And you get to the question about, do you have kitchen facilities? A lot of people think, why do I have to answer about kitchen facilities? Why does the government need to know about whether or not I have a kitchen? And actually, they use programs like Meals on Wheels use that data so that they know where are elderly people living who don't have kitchens and aren't able to cook for themselves. So things like that, there's a lot of things that some people, you just can't even imagine why it would be asked, but there are reasons. There are documented reasons for every question. You can actually go to www.census.gov. There's a link about the American Community Survey from the homepage, and it has all kinds of information. There's a long PDF document that goes into each question that's asked,
why it's being asked,
what federal agencies use the data, how long it's been asked, etc.
We're talking with Susan Clapp, demographer with the University of Virginia's Cooper Center and a former census employee for the U.S. government. Honored to have her here in the studio taking your questions at 977-1070. And Priscilla is online, too. Priscilla, you're on with Susan Clapp. Go right ahead.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
I am a Tea Party person. I did my census, but I filled out my name, my age, and that there was one person living in the house, which is true. And when I got to race, you cannot ask that on an employment application. So I put American Patriot and sent it in.
You thought that was a... they shouldn't have asked that question.
It just bothered me.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot ask it on an employment application, why are they allowed to ask it on the census?
Susan, what do you think? I mean, you were one of the people there working in Washington. Why would that be on there?
Well, it's important for the government to be able to monitor compliance with anti-discrimination laws, actually. Like I mentioned earlier, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. So it's important for them to know so they can actually ensure that there is equal employment opportunity and things like that.
So then the government has an idea of where the minorities are? I mean, is that basically it? I mean, to put it bluntly?
Not exactly to know where they are, but to know how many there are in each community, just so we have a basic understanding about our country and the people living here.
We're talking with Susan Clapp, demographer from the University of Virginia. Brett is on line three. Brett, you're on with Susan. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. A little while ago, you said that nobody can get the information. I filled out my form. I didn't put my name on it. I put how many were living at the house, and I put American for race. Somebody knocks on my door I've never seen before and starts asking me personal questions. How can that person not take my information and go elsewhere with it?
Did this person have a census badge?
No, I asked if they when they come to my door, because they will.
So no one has yet. I misunderstood,
too. No, they haven't yet.
Yeah, okay.
But they will, because I didn't give them my name. The census does not say that we have to give our name in the Constitution. It says numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And every answer you give us is the government. I tell you right now, the government is taking over, and I don't want them to have any information on me.
Susan, is it common that people go knock on your door if you didn't fill it out correctly, or they do some kind of follow-up like that?
They do ask you to put in your telephone number. That's so they can call you if they have follow-up questions. If they can't read the number you wrote and your age, or if you didn't fill out some of the questions, they might give you a call. If you don't send in the form by mail at all, they will send a census worker out to get the answers to your census form. And it's important to know those people, obviously the people who make a personal visit would collect your answers and would know them. But by law, they cannot share the data with anyone. And if they do, they are subject to a fine up to $250,000, or they can spend up to 5 years in jail.
And have you seen that enforced? I mean, when you were at the Census Bureau in Washington, did you know of instances where people where that was actually enforced against people?
Against the census employees?
No, against people who like...
That fine is for a census worker if anyone discloses data. Right. Right. The fine, there are fines if you don't fill out your census form that I have actually never seen enforced. Those are in place so that people understand how important the form is. It's like if you got a parking ticket and it didn't have a fine with it, you may not realize how important it was.
Let me ask you this before we let you go and we run out of time here. What's the latest on students? Because I understand that college students fill out a census where they're going to college. So if a parent is at home, they're not supposed to put their child on their census as living at home. They're supposed to be counted in the community where they're going to school, right?
The rule is that you should be counted wherever you're living on census day, which is April 1st, this Thursday. So if you are a student living on campus in a dorm, say a UVA dorm, you should not be counted on your parents' form. When they fill it out, it'll say, if they did put them down, they'd say, does this student live at school or somewhere else? And so they'd end up not being counted. Students will get forms through the dorm representative that will hand them out starting on April 1st, and they will be counted themselves on a form in their dormitory.
We got time for one more call, and we got Jake on line one. Jake, thanks for holding. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I haven't gotten no form for the census this year, and I don't know what happened. Scottsdale, box 42.
If you get regular mail, you should have gotten a form, and if you didn't, you can go online to www.census.gov, and you can call them and ask them about your situation and why you didn't get a form. And I believe there are going to be forms at the public libraries that you can fill out if you know that you have not been counted. You can go there and fill out one and ensure that you are counted in this 2010 count.
Let's continue our conversation with demographer Susan Clapp of the University of Virginia. She's live in studio, a former employee at the U.S. Census, and we're taking your calls and questions and comments about the U.S. Census, and more calls are coming in. Let's go to Ann on line two. Ann, thank you for holding. You're on with Susan. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. I wanted to get some clarification about those of us in the country who have a post office box, because our postmaster tells us that no census forms are being delivered through the post office, through our boxes. And this seems to be a real hardship for the census workers, because those of us with long driveways and up in the hills are hard to find as it is. So I would hope that they would do something to reach out to people with post office boxes.
Oh, absolutely they do. Thank you for calling in and bringing that up. That's an important point that I should make. You hear a lot about, and we talk a lot about, people who get forms in the mail and should send them back. But you're right, there are lots and lots of people in this country who don't get any mail. And the Census Bureau has in place various operations to make sure that those people are counted. There's one called Update Leave, where they come around, they update the address list, and they leave a census form. That would be a census worker. There's one called Update Enumerate, and that's in even harder to reach areas where they don't want to have to go twice. So the census census worker goes around, updates the address list, make sure they have every, you know, the current information, and they actually stop and do the census interview and get the information that's supposed to be on the
farm. So for somebody like Anne, who doesn't get mail to her farm, but would go to a post office box at the nearest post office, they're not going to get the census form in the post office box.
Right. They don't send the form to post office boxes because they only send them to actual household location addresses.
Yeah, because I guess a lot of people, if you send them to the post office boxes, then people would get more than one, because you might, a lot of people have post office boxes and get mail at home.
And a lot of people have post office boxes for their business, or it's very hard to tell if anyone actually lives there if you're not talking about a housing unit.
Right. So can Ann then, and the folks on farms out in the county who might just have post office boxes, can they expect then somebody to drop, literally put one, you know, on their doorstep or in a...
Yes, they should expect a form to arrive by a census worker or a census worker to show up to gather the information directly from them.
How's that sound, Ann?
If we picked up a form at the office and filled it out on Hydraulic Road in Santa Ana, I mean, was there a certain drop-dead date beyond which that wouldn't help?
I am not exactly sure. The best thing to do if you're unsure and you want to be sure that you are absolutely sure that you're counted, the best thing to do is to go to www.census.gov, and you, right on the top of their page, there's a link to the 2010 census part of their website. And there are phone numbers you can call and you can ask about your specific situation and make sure that you know they're counting you and you understand how
it
works.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And thank you for the call. Just call the census office directly and say, look, I'm on a farm. I'm in a rural area. Let's go to Gary. He's back on line one. Gary, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, great show. Your guest sounds like a very, very nice person. I've actually met a census worker a few months ago out in the Earliesville area when they were, I think they were checking addresses, and she came into the yard, and she had plenty of identification. She was pleasant. Years ago, my mother worked for the census as well. I just, though, don't trust that the information will be kept out of the hands of people in power, Republicans, Democrats, Greens, Socialists, whomever, if they want to get to it. When I got my form, I put down the names of the people that were in the household, and I believe that was all I put down. I really didn't understand why you needed to know how this person was related to the next person in the household. So I'll be, I guess, waiting for somebody to come to my door. But as nice as everybody is, I just don't trust it. And that's only my only comment, and I just would listen for her response.
Gary, thank you. And Susan Clapp is live in studio. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. We're talking about the U.S. Census, April 1st. Excuse me, April 1st, this Thursday, is U.S. Census Day in America. The counting has begun. When you worked at the U.S. Census, and certainly since then, you must have heard Gary's thoughts. I mean, this is, you know, a lot of people in America feel this way. Like, you know, I don't mind getting counted, but I don't like giving information to the government.
Yeah. And it's a really good thing to, you know, stop and think about. And, you know, in this day of identity theft, you want to make sure that, you know, you're not putting information into the wrong hands. But the law that governs the Census Bureau is called Title 13, and it has lots of confidentiality rules and, like I said, fines for anybody who discloses data, up to $250,000 or 5 years in jail if anyone turns your data over to the wrong people. The Census Bureau does not share information with any other agency. That includes the FBI, the CIA, the IRS. It's actually kind of a point of pride. There are people have posters on their walls at the Census Bureau that say, no FBI, no CIA, no IRS. They do not share the data with any other agency.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's see, John on line three. John, you're on with Susan Clapp. You go right ahead.
Okay, I just have a simple question.
Yes.
I haven't received my census information in the mail, and I wanted to know what I needed to do to complete it.
Great question, because I'm sure there's a lot of folks that still haven't gotten it. And they're wondering, well, you know, I'm supposed to count on April 1st.
Right. And if you don't get it by April 1st, I keep directing you to the website, but that's just because there's a lot of information there. Again, it's www.census.gov, and there are phone numbers there. There's a telephone assistance center, and there are also phone numbers for the regional office for Virginia that you can call and ask them what you should do. If you know for a fact that you haven't been counted, you can also, I believe, in the area, the public libraries will have what's called a Be Counted form that you can fill out.
Well, that was my next question. Mm-hmm. So for the folks who might be listening and they don't have computer and internet, because they're still out there, mm-hmm. public libraries, that's where you should go. There's some type of form there that you can fill out and just mail it in.
Mm-hmm.
And your name, address, and how many people are there kind of thing.
Right.
There you go. John, does that help?
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We got a phone line open at 977-1070. We're talking with demographer Susan Clapp of the University of Virginia's Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service, answering your questions about the U.S. Census and taking your comments. 977-1070. Give us an idea of, here in Virginia, after this counting has begun, perhaps some of the changes that you expect in demographers and the expert number crunchers like mm-hmm. yourself. Some of the changes that we might be seeing as a result?
Well, the biggest thing we'll see is we'll know exactly what our population is as of April 1st, 2010. We expect an increase of nearly 1 million people since the last census in 2000.
Wow.
So that was a little over...
Holy cow.
Yep, that was a little over 7 million. So we might get a little over 8 million.
And is that's got to be a huge jump. I mean, I don't know mm-hmm. the history of population in Virginia, but I would imagine that's got to be... a pretty significant increase in a 10-year period.
Yeah, it is a large growth, and it's also concentrated in three major areas, Northern Virginia, Richmond, and in Hampton Roads.
The urban crescent, as they call it. Yeah, so we're definitely going to see a huge spike. Are we going to see perhaps new congressional districts as a result?
I'm not sure if Virginia is one of those states where we might get an extra congressman. I don't believe we are. But we're also going to see how the state has changed as far as ethnic diversity. We've got a lot more diversity, especially in the younger population. We've had a large growth in the Hispanic population. We've actually had some decline in rural communities because a lot of people are moving to the cities. And we're also seeing one of the big trends right now is the population is aging. So we're seeing areas like in the Northern Neck and the Eastern Shore having a lot higher proportions of elderly citizens.
And is that nationwide with the boomers mm-hmm. all getting ready to retire here?
Right.
So
yeah.
That's not just a Virginia thing.
Not just a Virginia thing. It's happening in specific areas of Virginia especially, but it's the big trend that's coming.
We're talking about the U.S. Census with demographer Susan Clapp. The phone lines are open for your questions, 977-1070. Frank is on the line in Charlottesville. Frank, you're on with Susan. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Great show. Susan, you must feel like you're on so a griddle, but thank you for your answers. They've helped a lot of people. My comment would be that certain people are very, feel like they're in the dangerous position giving information to the government, and I certainly understand that. I felt the same way, but I wonder if this actually goes back further than the actual census of 2010 and perhaps to the Patriot Act, and perhaps this is something for Larry Sabto to answer, but I feel like it started then and not with the census, and I'll take those comments off the air. Thank you.
Terrific call, Frank. Thank you so much. Susan?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people, even in Census 2000, people were, you know, questioning, do I have to turn this over? Is this going to be confidential? It's a really important question to ask, and it's important to remember, you know, if a census taker does come to your house, you want to ask for proper identification, make sure that you see their badge. You know, this is a prime time for scams. It's actually the reason they sent out the pre-notification letter if you got the mailing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah,
I got that. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this?
The biggest reason they do that is so that it helps actually reduce costs because they've done research to show that there's a higher mail response rate. If people get a pre-notification letter, which saves taxpayer money. But the other reason they do it is so that people know, okay, I got a letter saying I should expect this form. So when I get the form, okay, that's what it is. It's the census form.
Yeah. But but Frank's essential point, I think, is very well taken, that Americans traditionally, culturally, we have believe is a healthy and often sometimes can be extreme, but a healthy skepticism about mm-hmm. about our government. And, you know, we like a little distance and we don't want them to have too much information. Mm-hmm. And there are people out there, and I'm one of them, who believes as much as the U.S. Census would be committed to not sharing that information, you almost feel, well, you know, the CIA is going to get what they want. I mean, if they go in there, we don't even know if they go in there. You know what I mean? That's just a concern a lot of people have, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I mean, all I can tell you is what the laws are, and, you know, I don't work there anymore, yeah. So I can't really speak for them, but the laws prevent them from sharing any data.
Yeah. We're talking with Susan Clapp. She's with the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service at the University of Virginia, formerly of the U.S. Census Bureau in Washington. Before we let you go, and we have time for a couple more calls if you want to get on the radio here, 977-1070 is the phone number. Give me a quick call and we'll put you right through. They spent money on advertising this year, advertising the census, and I heard some folks saying, is that a good use of public funds to do this? What was the point of that?
So the point of that is like I just said, it's save tax dollar money if people return their form by mail. So it costs 42 cents for the stamp, and if you don't send your form in by mail, it costs, the Census Bureau says, about $25 per person for a census worker to come and visit you. And like the pre-notification letter, they've done research that shows that advertising helps improve the mail response rate. And the Census Bureau says that for every 1% increase in mail response, the census will save $85 million. So a lot of people questioned, you know, the Super Bowl ad. Why did they spend a lot of money to have an ad in the Super Bowl? Well, because it was worth the investment, you know.
They have to get this count. The Constitution says you must do this.
Right.
So the Census Bureau has to do it.
Right.
So they figure we're going to spend the money on the front end,
exactly.
And we're going to save money on the back end.
Right.
We won't have to send as many people out to homes knocking on doors.
Right. That's the goal.
One of the folks I had lunch with today was, I think back in the 90s, was one of those folks knocking on doors up in New York for people who didn't turn in their census. And she was telling me that most of these folks were elderly people who were just shut-ins.
Yeah.
That, you know, aren't used to people coming to the door and probably threw that census form away. Do you see a lot of that among the elderly?
I'm not sure. I've never actually been a census taker. I just worked up in the, you know, corporate headquarters. But I think the census takers out there see a lot of different things that we can't imagine.
The stories they would have to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would imagine they're going to be facing, you know, as they go out and knock on doors, they're going to be facing some anger perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And not just among, you know, Tea Party folks or the folks who at this moment in time are mad at the government. That anger goes back and forth from the left and the right. You know, during the Bush administration, we saw a whole lot of anger on the left at Washington. So I imagine they have to deal with that professionally.
Yeah, I think they go through a lot of training on how to handle, you know, anything from an angry respondent to a, you know, crazy dog or a gated community. So
give us the details again on where folks can get more information. You've been really sending folks to the website. There's a whole lot there. What is that again?
It's www.census.gov. And right at the top in the middle of their homepage, there's a big picture that links you to the 2010 section. And you can go there and find the number if you have a question, if you need a call. There's a place you can click and see why is each question asked on the form. There's a blog from the Census Director. There's all kinds of information on there.
And for folks who can't get online, you can go to the post office, public library,
right.
And there's some information there as well.
There should be, yes.
Terrific. Susan Clapp, she's a demographer with the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service here at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, and a former employee at the U.S. Census Bureau. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.